And of course, we're going to take your phone calls now with our special guest, Dr. Jason Rand, Planet X, the return of Planet X. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Jason, before our calls, how about some tips? What can we do, assuming all this is happening?
Well, the easiest thing that we can do is to, first of all, sit down with our families. Just as FEMA often says, have a game plan for the family. Have the head of the household sit down, map out the strengths and weaknesses of the family structure. Have supplies ready. The book, in the last chapter of the book, Personal Preparations, we give a detailed analysis of what would constitute a food stash, water, medical supplies, a reading paraphernalia, bedding, a tent, that type of thing. And in order for us to be prepared for it, we have to understand that it's a naturally occurring cycle of events on the planet. So having to be fearful doesn't do anything but complicate the individual scenario. What we need to do is to be organized, to read, to be prepared, to understand, and hopefully have enough resources available that should something strike us of this nature and catastrophe, we would be able to at least sustain ourselves for the first 30 days. I know they say 3 to 4 to 5 days, but if it's something major, George, we've got to be prepared for 30 days. There will be no stores. There won't be electricity. There won't be food. There won't be gasoline. You should have either charcoal or the gas cans for propane gas to do your cooking. You should have large supplies of water available, some kind of a portable bathroom facility. There's all kinds of things that we can do, but doing nothing is the worst thing that we can do. And having no belief in what's happening means that the public's eyes are closed. As we mentioned, the planet is undergoing huge, catastrophic changes right now. I've got a long-range forecast, if I could give it to you real quick.
Long-range, sure.
Okay, I believe that we're going to find a continuing escalation of much more severe and dramatic earth-changing events that will come sweeping across the globe as 2009 and 2012 comes to bear. And let's look at specific focus on powerful tropical storms, the hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, volcanoes, flooding, and wildfires. If the governments of the world, although well-meaning and sincere, suddenly become overwhelmed with the scope of the tragedy, you know, of these huge mega-natural disasters, you know, shades of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, momentarily, they will seemingly all agree, joining together. And all the while, they'll be secretly planning their individual conquests. It's a hard thing to talk about, but it'll be every country for themselves, struggling to be a remaining survivor, still strong enough to defend themselves. And I think you can understand what I'm alluding to.
Yes, I can. And do you think any country will launch its capabilities?
I think that this whole Middle Eastern thing will blow up right in our faces. They'll go after the weaker nations first, and unfortunately, I think that the U.S. is going to have a very, very difficult time. A thought on that. You know, once the first series of major Earth changes strikes the North and South American continent, because we're going to get hit across the world, it's not going to be just one region of the planet. As we approach 2009, I really believe that Canada, the U.S., Mexico, Central and South America will have to patch up their social, political, and financial differences, George, because then we'll see a unified continental society developing, and it will have little or no border restrictions, and it'll be done with a practical, working, operational philosophy. Let's face it, it's got to be one designed to keep all of these democratic societies in accord with each other as things start to truly get unruly and problematic for their terrified populations. I don't think there's any way that we can get away from this. Now,
right. It
might not be real serious. It could be minor disruptions around the planet, but I fear that it's going to be far worse than minor. If the current weather patterns and the current kinds of destructive natural forces continue to escalate like they are, I don't see how we can escape this. Once again, not to make fear amongst the population, but to tell everybody to read, be prepared, understand, and get each family unit together and ready to face whatever problem we have to deal with.
Here we go to the phones. Wild Card Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, is it me?
It is, if you are who you say you are.
Hi, George. I'm Sandra, and I'm in Houston. And I worked hard to get through tonight.
Well, it's all yours, Sandra.
I just love your show. Dr. Rand.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever heard of the book, Mary's Message to the World?
Yes, absolutely. It's mentioned in my book.
Okay. You have just totally outlined, basically, what she has written in her book. Plus, I so understand what you mean when you say it is fearful coming forward. I personally have had experiences beginning at the age of 4, and I hate to use the word I, me, personal pronouns of that nature, because this is not about I or me or you. It's about our world. And I was just wondering, when you started to put all of these people, you said something very vital in your presentation. You said that bits and pieces are scattered all over the world.
Yes.
And there are. I truly know this, but how do you bring these pieces together?
Well, basically, it's reading books. Books were my best friend from my early childhood. I probably have about 4,000 volumes in my personal library. And with the advent of the Internet available to us, Sandra, mm-hmm. everything is available to you at the flick of a finger on your keyboard.
But how do you get the word out? There are so many areas that are not being talked about, like us losing land, our borders, our actual coastline, which is happening as we speak. There's so many areas that I think the math of the string theory, I'm trying to be succinct and say as much as I can and articulate it so much.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
But, I mean, there's just so much not being said, and all the puzzle piece, and I agree with you, this is happening. It's happening faster and faster. And, again, it's going to be catastrophic. Mary's Message to the World talks about the fact that as people die, there's going to be a massive amount of souls leaving this earth not knowing what to do.
Yes, mass confusion.
Mass confusion. And in order, and I've already, my screen name is Galaxy Line, and I'm known as a kook online because I, too, like you, I'm trying to just get the word out, put it out in people's consciousness and get it out there. Let them start mulling it over in their own minds. They might not like what I'm saying, but at least they'll have a preference.
Well, why don't you create your own personal blog on the Internet?
Well, I started with my experiences. I'm like you. I felt that fear of yours. That's what made me decide I'm going to go for this because I don't normally speak out like this. I'm kind of subtle, but the heck was subtle.
You sound very organized and very cohesive to me. I think what I would encourage you to do is to continue to speak about your message. If you're not afraid to speak about it, then stand out. Be a shining light. Be a beacon to people who may be looking toward you for guidance and understanding and courage. And this is why those people that do acquire my book, I'm asking them to share it with family and friends, cousins, you know, grandpa. We all need to be aware of what's coming down around us. And we have the ability to inform each other. It's just getting over that fear portion. We needn't fear the future. We need to be prepared for the future.
And take what happens.
Like you're on top of it.
Very good. Next up, East of the Rockies. You're on with Dr. Bren on Coast to Coast. Jason Rand. Yep.
This is Ray from Ocala, Florida.
Yep.
Now, if you ever towed a vehicle and you tie a rope to that vehicle as you're towing it, you press on the accelerator, and if you let off the accelerator, the car that you're towing will slow you down to a halt. Now, you said this brown dwarf, this star, if it's not one system, if Planet X or Nibiru is not one system and it's actually towing this planet Nibiru, wouldn't it cause the same braking so that it's not following a linear orbit? Wouldn't Nibiru actually be orbiting around this wormwood as a planet?
I don't believe, sir, that it is actually in orbit around the brown dwarf. I believe that the way this celestial object, this brown dwarf, is constructed, its path is distinctive and it never changes. It can be longer or shorter based on celestial events that are affecting it, but its speed is so great that I think what it basically does is it attaches the planet Nibiru, attaches itself to the gravitational field of X, and it's simply being towed. Now, it may rotate. It may have a rotational field and axis involved, but I do believe that it's being towed, not pushed, and that I doubt whether it would slow the brown dwarf down.
Okay, thank you. First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, this is me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing? My name is Robin from West Texas.
Okay, Robin.
Or from Midland, Texas. First-time caller. I love your show, man.
Thanks.
I got a question. A question for your call for Jason there.
Yes, sir.
Do you know about the South Pole telescope that's in Antarctica?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it?
I've heard of it. I believe that there are telescopes at both poles.
Both poles.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Because I found it. I'm on the internet right now, and I found this website, whatever, and it's talked about from Nibiru or Planet X was discovered in 1983 by U.S. And so, basically, the U.S. is pouring, like, tons of money into this to track the Planet X.
Actually, it was announced, NASA announced it in 1982.
82? Oh, okay.
Yes, it goes that far back. And it appears that this NASA statement seems to confirm certain ancient 6,000-year-old Sumerian pictographs, which give vivid descriptions of our parent solar system containing at least one more planet that the Sumerians called Nibiru, which of course means planet of the crossing, as discussed in the Sitchin work. I think that's what you're referring to, that particular article.
By the way, the telescope in the South Pole, 30 feet
30
wide.
Feet?
30 feet wide. That's a big telescope.
Wow. I didn't know those statistics, but I do now.
Yep. Went online Feb 16th of this year.
I see. Wow. Does that help you out, buddy?
Yeah. And also, can I get like another question real quick?
Yeah.
Also, is NASA using the planet Sedna as a smokescreen to cover up Planet X?
I don't honestly believe that they're deliberately covering it up. That whole information on Sedna is very interesting. It becomes a mild distraction from some of the other major issues. I don't believe it's deliberate. I believe that it is part of their normal information dissemination. But you've got a good point there. Actually, I've never thought about that, George. What do you think?
Well, what are they doing with a 30-foot telescope in the mm-hmm. South Pole, Jason?
Exactly. Exactly. They're obviously looking for something very, very important. And
yep.
if they haven't found it, they're sure going to find it quickly. But I believe that they've known about this now for at least 2 to 3 decades. This is just not something that is not understood with the caliber of science and the sophisticated array of telescopes and satellites that you know our country is so lucky to have at its disposal. I do think there is some cover-up going on, but I don't believe it's sinister or anything of that nature. I think that they're really trying to figure out what to do about what they found out, how to broach the public about it, and how to get the public prepared. George's comments about the Vatican earlier, I find that a little more suspicious.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi there. Can
yes,
you hear me?
You sure can.
Okay. Well, I would like to take issue with you, sir, on your judgment that this thing coming is wormwood, and I'll tell you why.
All right, sir.
Wormwood is a flaming star that will strike the surface of the Earth, poisoning one-third of the world's water supply, as you have pointed out in the Book of Revelation. And you have also said that it's about the size of Saturn, but it's heavier. Saturn has it's 95 times more massive than Earth. Its diameter is 15 times that of Earth. And if this other planet is the same size, it's far larger than Earth, and it would just obliterate Earth. And therefore, this cannot be wormwood by your own statements.
Do you believe in Wormwood, sir?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it has already hit Earth. And I think I can describe to you how it did it and why and
when
by its placement.
When did it
happen? Down. Okay. This is information that came to me over a period of about 3 years. I lived in Houston for 25 years, and I took a seven-year sabbatical from the city and have recently returned.
Okay.
Just before I left, a NASA issue talked about the space station Mir, which, as you know, came down in 1997.
Right.
And I was always curious myself as why they didn't jettison into outer space and go through all this drama. Is it going to hit Australia? Is it going to hit South Africa? Is it going to hit New Zealand? Oh, lucky us, it hit right in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Well, this brief article that came out of NASA was published in the Houston Chronicle in late 1999, described that when Mir came down, it was covered on the inside and outside with black mold. It did land in the Indian Ocean, centrally. Now, right there is the confluence and the origination point, if there is an origination point to this particular phenomenon that's been discovered, which is called the Oceanic Beltway. And the Oceanic Beltway, it circulates these rivers, this one huge looping river in the ocean that basically loops up west of Africa all of the way to the Arctic Circle, and creates what we call the Gulf Stream. And then it also circulates up the east coast of Africa and goes through all of those islands and does the same thing. It arrives at the Arctic Circle. And then because of salinity and cooling, it sinks there and then travels along the ocean floor back to this deep rift in the Indian Ocean floor, and then gets pumped back up by heating of the tropical sun and goes through this cycle. And you can find this on the internet, and you can see this beltway diagram.
Well, if Wormwood did hit us, does that mean we're in these end stages of end times?
Yes, sir, I believe we are. And I think you're really right and correct in posing your advice to prepare yourself, but actually there's no preparation that can be made for this other than to just pray, and if you are one of the departing souls, you'll go to the light. And,
well, it may be being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that, of course, Jason, would be unfortunate.
Yes, it would. I like the gentleman's approach. I'm trying to understand, though, if you say Wormwood has hit us, what exactly do you attribute Wormwood to being?
I guess what he's saying is he believes there is a Wormwood, like
yes.
You do.
Yes.
But he believes it's already been. You say it's on the way.
Well, if it's already been, we haven't had huge catastrophic effects from something hitting the Earth. I mean, even a small asteroid would cause horrible consequences here on the planet.
Stay with us. We're going to be back with final phone calls with Dr. Jason Rand on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we'll be joined by Apollo 14 astronaut and friend Edgar Mitchell. He'll discuss his efforts to further humankind's eternal and external thrust to widen its horizons as well as the soul. We'll be back with final questions on Coast to Coast AM. Jason, do you go on tour? Any conferences for you?
I'm going to be beginning at the beginning of this coming year. I'll be doing a series of conferences and hopefully some of the major UFO events around the country.
Very good. Let's
By
go
the way,
some...
an old friend of yours, J.J. Hertek, wanted me to say hi to you.
Oh, sure.
I just
absolutely.
He called me last night and wanted to give me some pointers. He's been my mentor for many, many, many years, but he wanted me to definitely tell you that he and Desiree are doing just fine.
Excellent. Great guest on Coast to Coast.
Yes.
Great guest. Okay, back to the phones we go. Time will go by very quickly. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Bobby in Los Angeles.
Hey, Bobby. Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Bobby.
Love the show. Just had a couple questions for Jason real quick. First off, I know you said you're not a prophet, and this is just information you're getting out there. But I was wondering if you had any. Do you attribute this as any kind of a religious experience that's about to happen in the like classic traditional sense?
You mean for the public or for myself?
Is this going to involve some kind of a supernatural thing beyond just the crazy physics going on?
I totally believe so. I think that it is going to be a metaphysical event at many, many different levels.
But I guess I'm asking more in a traditional, Judeo-Christian kind of sense. Do you attribute that, or do you think we're all going to be like, our worlds will be rocked and we'll understand more what's actually really going on?
I think it'll be the latter. I think that people like you and others will have a sudden realization of what reality really is, and I do believe that we are in the end time period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. And I believe that Armageddon is right around the corner, and I think that it's going to all start with Iran. Coming right smack at us.
Do you think when you say end time, though? I've been reading. Like in Wikipedia regarding the Mayan calendar, it kind of does a debunking where it says it's not the end of time, it's the end of the current time period is what they mean. It's the end of the global cycle of their calendar.
Yes, it's also the end of a major age metaphysically.
Right.
Yes, I do concur with that, absolutely.
Okay, and then my other question was, are you at all in the know, having done your research and visiting these sites and everything, are you aware of any astronomers or like NASA scientists that you've spoken with who are aware of Planet X and its approach or anything regarding that, or that there's any kind of like, clandestine thing going on regarding that?
I haven't really talked to any one particular NASA person or representative or scientist, but the scuttlebutt, the buzz, once again, where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Right.
There is a definitive feeling that we are about to experience something very major and very catastrophic on the planet. What's happening around us in every day with the weather is just one small example of that. And yes, I do think they're aware of it. As I mentioned earlier, I do think that the government, our government in particular, will be responsible. They are going to start disseminating this information. As you know, martial law has been on the books since Bill Clinton put it there some number of years ago.
Right.
And not only here, but around most of the Western countries in the world, they're ready. They're getting ready. What we need to do is, just like you're suggesting, we need to find out more. The Internet is a great place to do your research.
Right.
And it costs literally nothing except your time.
Mm. Oh, is it possible, can I ask one last really quick little thing?
Sure, absolutely, Bobby.
Okay, thank you, George. When this happens, the alignment of the planets, just the physics of that, is that something that what's the timeline on? I mean, that's not going to just happen like that day. It'll suddenly, everything will spring into,
No, I think it's been gradually happening. We mentioned earlier that all of the planets in our solar system are gradually heating. However, there will be a point, a tipping point, where all of this phenomena will suddenly appear to happen all at the same time.
What's the horizon line when the planets are nearing, like how many weeks or months or whatever where we start really feeling it?
I think it begins in 2009, in September or October of 2009. We're going to start noticing drastic changes taking place in not only Earth, but in some of the other planets. And then as we go ever increasingly fast into 2012, December of 2012, I think that's when, if planet Earth is going to suffer these catastrophic consequences of X's passing, that's when it'll be most dramatic. And it could happen in the twinkling of an eye, just that quick. The story about the mastodons in Siberia that they've unearthed that were frozen in place, that happened because of a pole shift. And there's a lot of information.
And it was an immediate pole shift.
Immediate.
It must have been.
And there's lots of information, my friend, once again on the Internet, and there are some great books out there. By the way, I talk about all these books in my book. I cover all of the information that you've asked about.
What do you mean you talk
there.
About the books? Almost like a reference guide, huh?
It is a reference guide. Actually, what I call it is a natural disaster survivor's manual. That's what's right on the cover of the book, A Natural Disaster Survivor's Manual.
Back to the other phones. First time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, I'm in Tacoma.
Washington. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hey, sorry about that. I have three really quick questions for Jason.
Okay, sir.
Number one is, are there going to be any ETs emerging at the time when all these cataclysmic events?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You've asked a critical question. This is also covered in the book. In fact, there's half a chapter devoted to it. I believe that the growing escalation of sightings and one-on-one scenarios with people is just a prelude to what's happening. In fact, I discussed the fact that I do believe that there is a new hybrid species that will be introduced to the planet to help make up for the tremendous loss of human life that occurs when these disasters begin to occur. I definitely believe there's an ET connection, and I think it's more than one society. I understand that there may be as many as 87 different extraterrestrial societies that will be interfacing with the planet. And once again, nothing to fear. I have never, ever had a negative experience with any of the ET entities that I've dealt with or that have given me information or the ship that I was on when I was at age 11. Now, I'm not saying that there are not negative forces out there, and I'm not saying that bad things don't happen, but I believe that the large portion of ET contacts are going to be positive, and I do believe that they're going to be taking off huge amounts of human population to help repopulate when this whole thing settles down on the planet. I hope I answered that for you.
Yeah, is there the chance that at our weakened state there could be ETs that are maybe, you know, have other plans? Like,
it's possible. Maybe? It's possible. I can't predict that, nor would I want to. All I'm saying is that anything is possible, but I think that the preponderance of help will come from ETs, not the negative ones, and there may be some that slip in, but I think that basically we'll be protected from that.
Let's go to our wild card line. Hello there. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Liz from Winnipeg, Canada.
Hello, Lizzie.
Hi, Jason. Great program. I was looking at your map of the orbit of Planet X, and
yes,
it shows it coming in by the asteroid belt, and I was just wondering, on a previous orbit, could Planet X have hit another planet in our solar system and thus caused, like, exploded it and made it the asteroid belt?
You're real close to a phenomenon. I believe that what happened about 4.5 to 5 billion years ago is that a large asteroid of some humongous size actually came crashing into the solar system. I believe that there were originally, by the way, 12 planets in our system, not the 9 that we have. I believe that this large asteroid crashed into a planet called Marduk, which goes back to the Sitchin writings. And when Marduk was impacted, it broke into billions of pieces, which became the asteroid belt. But as a further consequence of it, another large piece glanced off, and that is what knocked the brown dwarf sun, what I call Wormwood, out into its long elliptical pattern around the solar system. So you're really close to what happened. I just wanted to restructure your thinking a little bit on that. And that's what caused this tremendous cycle to occur with this brown dwarf returning time and time again periodically every 36 to 4,000 years. It was based on a celestial collision.
I was also wondering just about the calendar. Maybe we'd start counting up again if our poles shifted.
Well, that's a good point. I don't know if I can comment on that. I do think that we are going to see a shift of time. I believe that time, although it's hard to perceive, I believe that time has been speeding up. And I don't know if I can really explain that to you. The ETs explained it to me one time. It has to do with your individual field of reality, which I spoke about an hour ago.
How about old age?
How about old age? Now, some of us aren't aging. Have you noticed that there are larger numbers of humans that are living to be way past 100 and that their bodies seem to be holding together? I personally am 68. I look 58 and I act 48. I don't know.
You're 68? I would never have guessed it just with your voice.
Well, thank you. I've been around a while, George.
68.
I've been kicking here for a while.
East of the Rockies, you're on with us. Hi there.
Yard. This is Dave. I'm a truck driver a little bit north of Baltimore on I-95.
Hello, David.
Hello,
I'd
Dave.
Like to know if Nostradamus had any predictions about Planet X coming around. I'll listen to it off the air.
Yes, he okay. did. Nostradamus is covered almost in 6 to 7 pages of text. It's riveted reading. I would encourage you to pick up a copy. It's his prognostications are riddled with references to these coming disasters, time changes, pole shifts. Quite a fascinating man. And if you're a student of Nostradamus, there are at least a dozen really good books out there that would speed you along in your research.
Between Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, something's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I would encourage you, sir, to go ahead and search out this information. Once again, the Internet is a great source of information for you.
West of the Rockies, take it away. Hi there.
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Listening to 1190 KEX. I had a question for your guest. Have you heard of the book, the Urantia book, and have you read it, and what's your
Absolutely,
take?
Absolutely, I have it on my bookshelf.
Really?
It's not Reader's Digest reading, I must tell you.
No.
It's a huge book, a fascinating book, and the group that wrote it out of Chicago claims the information was passed on from extraterrestrial beings.
Excellent. Big part of the picture, huh?
Yes, sir. It's all, you will find, sir, that most modern-day metaphysical writings have been influenced in some way or nature by ETs. In fact, I've already written 3 books. The last book I wrote prior to this one is called The Cosmic Blueprint for After, and it's specifically devoted to the aftermath of 2012, and it was channeled to me over an 11-year period.
Wow.
It took me that long to transfer the ideas and to assimilate them into reading that the average person could understand. They are trying to get us prepared for this transition.
Okay. I'm a spiritual being living a human experience. I'm just going to stick to the Bible. It's all foretold already.
No, it's all there for you. You're absolutely right. In fact, a large part of our research, sir, was conducted in from the Bible, and it clearly talks about that in chapter 6.
Excellent. Hey, guys, have a good night.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Jeremy, thank you. Time for a few more phone calls. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello. My name is Dave. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky.
Hi. The home of the Red Mile.
That is correct. Dr. Rand, I was wondering, while Planet X is still coming close to our solar system, you had mentioned earlier in the show that, you know, everyone's intuition and their, you know, perceptive abilities and everything start to increase. Well, will that continue to increase, and will it get even stronger as it's, you know, much closer to us and going back to where it's coming from? And I was also wondering that during the polar shift, could there be a possibility that a lot of things that might be buried be unearthed, you know, maybe, you know, things that we probably don't want to be unearthed? And that's pretty much it.
Well, your question has many levels. Let me rail right into it. Number one, yes. As these events begin to happen, your personal consciousness will begin to rise and shift, and I think the entire consciousness of the planet will be raised. The question is, what will we as individuals do about it, and how will we respond to these internal changes? You seem to be already aware of the fact, and I'll go out on a limb and say you're probably already being elevated at this point. That's why you're on the air, and that's why you're talking to George. So what you need to do, sir, is simply proceed along the course that you are. Keep your mind and body and spirit from getting polluted. It'll be very important to be clear-headed and to have a healthy body as we approach these periods. And as far as things being unearthed, anything can happen with a pole shift. And also the pole shift might not happen. We could have huge crustal movements and
tectonic movements, yeah,
with earthquakes, but we might not have a pole shift. That would be the worst case scenario. But yes, even minor disruptions with the planet and earthquakes could unearth some very interesting things rather than to be feared.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on with Dr. Rand. Hi.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
This is Chuck. I'm talking to you from Tyler, Texas.
Yes, Chuck.
Hold on to your hats. I believe I saw Planet X pass by one night when I worked over on my job.
How so? Tell me.
Okay. Came. I worked over. I worked the night shifts, and I worked over from 12 to 4 in the morning. And the color of it was like a orange, yellow, pastel color. And it had a big scar on the side of it, a gray scar.
How did you see this?
I don't know. I was outside taking a break, and I just saw it.
Was it that close?
It looked like the sun rising, you know. But I said, hey, that can't be the sun because the sun's already set.
Sir, this sounds remarkably like the illustration that is on the cover of our book. Here's what I think might have happened. You might have been gifted with an internal psychic vision of this, and it appeared to be physical to you.
I actually saw it. This was like July the 11th or the 13th.
I think you've received a very, very valuable gift, sir, and I think you need to reflect on it, and certainly why don't you write a little something about it?
Matter of fact, I have never saw a picture of this planet, and I haven't used a telescope to see it, but I'll get time, and I'll draw a picture of it for you and send it in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can go to our website, which is returnofplanetx-x.com. And I'll be happy to correspond with you and go on. I think, once again, I think an ET situation occurred here, sir. And I think you were given a vision of this.
Get the toll-free number out, Jason.
Yes, sir. The toll-free number for book ordering is 1-800-247-6553. The book is in all of your local bookstores. It's on Amazon.com. And the company is Atlas Books in Ashland, Ohio.
We've done a fascinating job. We've got your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.
Great.
Jason, we're going to talk with you again, especially as we get closer to these time periods.
I just want to thank you again. It's so vitally important to do what you do every night. You're getting the information out. You're allowing people to speak their minds. You're allowing everybody to exchange information. And for that, sir, I want to say bravo.
We want the world to be ready. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.